Right now, joining us on the phone lines is our U.S. Representative Rick Crawford here on KASU. And Mr. Crawford, thanks for your time as always. I appreciate you, sir.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
So I know there's been a lot of concerns about coronavirus that's been taking place. And of course, there was a big spending package that was passed on that. I want to get your thoughts on the federal response to this. How do you think the federal government has been responding to a coronavirus and the fears?
Well, I think that it's been comparatively good, given some of the things that we've seen in the past with things like H5N1, H1N1, swine flu, SARS, MERS. I mean, there's been a variety of, you know, pretty significant health threats over the years, and I think this compares favorably in terms of the response. And then I think also it's a willingness to be proactive and address other things, for example, the travel ban. Now, there are some folks that probably, you know, initially they sort of dismissed that as, you know, an inappropriate response or reaction to this, but it turns out that that is now seen as a pretty wise move that the president implemented. And it's not about trying to be, you know, isolationist or anything like that, but, you know, the reality is that when you have people coming in and out of the country, and it's not just here in the United States, it's many, many countries that either have or are considering similar action to protect their citizens. That's what this is about, is protecting Americans. It's not that you're trying to be punitive to anybody else, but first and foremost, president has a responsibility to protect Americans. And so I think it's important to note that, you know, he's willing to take those actions and make the hard decisions and take the flak for it. Initially, there was some flak over it, and I think it's been borne out to be actually a pretty good decision.
You think that, I know that there's been a lot of fears about this, and it's even affecting, you know, the markets, it's affecting, you know, oil prices, affecting all that stuff. Do you think that this is overblown, or do you think that these are legitimate fears and these are real concerns?
Legitimate fears, real concerns, and I think you have to be careful that you don't overblow it, and then you also have to be careful that you don't undersell it. I mean, so I think you have to strike, you know, the appropriate balance here that, yes, this is a serious issue. It's a serious health issue, but it's not something that we can't deal with. And so what you've seen, you know, the market's response to this is typically that's just how the markets respond to anything. Whenever there is a, you know, stimuli introduced that are, you know, out of the control of these players in the market, they typically, you know, you're going to see a big sell-off. Well, that's not necessarily all bad. There are folks who make money in that process, and then there are others that'll come back and have an opportunity to make more money. And so this is a short-term deal, and, you know, that's what the markets are there for, is to help people make money. And I'm not talking about the traders, per se. I'm talking about people that are invested, people in the 401ks and so on, that are relying on these markets. And, you know, even 401ks look at a downturn, and people, individual entities that are managing those 401ks view that as an opportunity to take some profit and enhance those 401ks. So it's not all bad. It's not all good. I think, like I said, this is about striking the right balance and you know, finding some equilibrium here that basically says, yes, we've got a potential serious problem on our hands. It's been pretty bad in foreign countries. We don't want to see that happen here. And so here are the actions that we're taking. And I think that's what you're seeing with the administration.
Yeah. So with the $8.7 billion spending package that was approved, can you kind of tell people, because there might be some people who have heard that it was approved but may not know all the details of it. Could you kind of talk a little bit about what that money is going to be used for, please?
Well, primarily vaccination and treatment. So there are other things. You know, personal protective equipment is one of the primary concerns about healthcare providers, whether those be, you know, hospitals or nursing homes or any other provider that's going to be charged with administering healthcare to these infected individuals or potentially infected individuals. And that's not a small thing, because you heard me talk about this issue with China before. Well, it turns out that most of our personal protective equipment, the masks that we're looking for, those are produced in China. And this really underscores why it's so important that we divest ourselves of this over-reliance on Chinese manufacturing and start bringing some of that back home. And you know, we talk about, you know, our vulnerability, a potential vulnerability for a country that can't feed and clothe itself. Well, we're making ourselves strategically vulnerable, economically vulnerable, when we rely on China for essential items like personal protective equipment with regard to healthcare and antibiotics and other pharmaceuticals. We don't need to put them in a position to leverage that against us. And we are most definitely in that position right now. And so we're looking at companies like 3M, for example, are ramping up production, and our pharmacy industry is looking for, trying to fast track vaccinations and treatment drugs and so on. And I think we're making pretty remarkable progress. I just saw this morning there's a company out of Texas that says they already have a vaccine for COVID-19. That's remarkable, very fast, and it's going to be a question now of a regulatory framework that allows us to operate quickly to be able to bring that to the marketplace. So that's what this money is about. It's about trying to, shore up all the resources we need with regard to not just mitigation, but treatment and prevention.
So you're saying that there could already be a vaccine, even though there was some who said that it could be at least a year or so before a vaccine is even ready. Is that what you're saying?
Right. I saw this on the news this morning, and there's a company out of Texas. Now, I think there's a race to, to find some vaccine. And obviously, I'm okay with the federal government. I'd like to see us, for lack of a better term, incentivize that to sort of create a bounty for this, and an incentive and award for, the company that comes to the marketplace with, a vetted, viable option for this, maybe that company. I don't know. We'll see. But one of the biggest problems we have in this country, and it's not just in pharmaceuticals, and we see it in agriculture and others, and that is the regulatory pipeline that makes it so difficult for companies to bring new products to the marketplace, and that creates a problem. And to their credit, they state that they have a vaccine, and I hope they're right, and to the market sooner rather than later.
U.S. Representative Rick Crawford joining us here. We're talking about the coronavirus and some of the issues on that. Mr. Crawford, I know that you travel a lot. I know that you, obviously, your family still lives in Jonesboro. You're coming back into the district an awful lot. So you fly all the time when you're going back and forth between here and Washington. There has been some concern about the airline industry and how they're handling things. And, of course, cruise ships and other things. How do you think that is by way of the response of the airline industry and others to really kind of take this seriously to protect those who use those passengers?
Well, I think the airlines have to be obviously front and center on this as well as any other travel industry, because it's not just the airlines. It could be commuter rail. It could be passenger rail. It can be cabs. We've heard stories about Uber driver, one in particular that was infected. So it's not just about, these concentration of people in close quarters like that. A lot of this has to do with, how we act in close quarters, how we interact with people. There's this talk about social distance. And, I'm kind of a believer in giving people personal space, not invading people's personal space anyway. So I'm not, the old Seinfeld episode, I'm not a close talker anyway. But the point is that we need to start thinking about that. And, we're seeing a shift now to where we're not shaking hands, we're fist bumping or doing something like that to indicate, some sort of gesture of courtesy, a greeting, whatever, without necessarily exposing an individual or being exposed yourself. So It's things like this, and the travel industry is certainly, Vice President Pence has met with members of the cruise line industry and has talked with them. They are keenly aware. You see what we're seeing, with the most recently this ship that they're docking in California now. They're going to move those patients out into quarantine at Miramar in California, Lackland in Texas, and Dobbins Air Force Base in Georgia for further evaluation before they were allowed to go home. So, yeah, there's some real concerns there. I travel every week on the airplane. I'm not overly concerned, obviously. I'm just as concerned as I would be any other time, and that in the close confines of an airplane, if people are, coughing, sneezing, carrying on, then that has the potential to, transmit disease, just as it does any other kind of flu that we deal with, seasonal flu we deal with throughout the year on a regular basis. In fact, the mortality rate is pretty high on that. And in Arkansas, I think year to date, we've seen somewhere in the neighborhood of 65 fatalities on just the seasonal flu. And so I'm not trying to downplay COVID-19, but I also don't think we ought to discount the fact that a flu shot goes a long way to prevent these types of things. And, we hope that there's going to be something out there very soon that would address COVID-19 and other diseases as they come up.
Vice President Mike Pence has kind of taken the lead on this. Of course, he was appointed by President Trump on this to be able to really kind of lead and meet with both federal officials and state officials and that. Your thoughts on how he's been handling everything, talking about the Vice President Mike Pence?
Well, I think he's done a great job. This is a guy who has executive experience. He's been a governor of a state. I served one term with him in Congress back in 2011, 2012. He's really a good guy and a good manager. And that's what we're talking about here, is the ability to, really kind of synthesize this effort, bring the stakeholders together, and help direct the response at the executive level. I think he's doing a really good job. One of the things that we're seeing is the response at the state level. There's been initially, obviously there's concern about the level of communication from the CDC. I think they're doing a good job addressing that. We need to enhance the communication upstream from the states to CDC, not just from CDC to the states, because there are some really good observations and practices that we can share, and other states can share best management practices and so on, that I think would have a benefit to the states, and CDC can sort of be the clearinghouse to push that out to other states. And I'll give you an example of something that's happened here in the First District of Arkansas, and that was we have the good fortune of having a health fellow from NYIT at ASU. That's our medical school at Arkansas State, a fourth-year medical student that is essentially working in our office, and it's something we've been working on since 2013, and this is the first time we've actually had that individual in residence in our office. And it was almost serendipity, because she's doing a fantastic job in this research and communicating it back to hospitals and healthcare professionals back in the state. And what we're hearing is we're pushing this up to Vice President Pence. We've been in communication this weekend with Vice President and his team about the viability of telehealth and what the limits are with regard to addressing the response to COVID-19 and what could happen, what we're advising to happen, that they take this action to allow for the expansion of telehealth to help address the medical response to COVID-19. And I think the Vice President's team is very responsive to that. Hopefully we'll see something happen. It may look like an executive order, I don't know. But if and when that happens, it will be largely attributable to the work that our health fellow has done in our office. That's a fourth-year medical student at NYIT at ASU. So it's commendable that she's doing that kind of work at this highest level, and that the timing on it was such that it just happened to coincide with what was taking place with regard to this COVID-19 outbreak.
U.S. Representative Rick Crawford, I know we've been spending a lot of time this morning talking about coronavirus. It's what a lot of people have been talking about, and I want to thank you for your time and your thoughts on this. Before we let you run, anything else you would like to add about this, about coronavirus, you may not have had a chance to address, please?
Well, you know, look, we're tweeting out the kind of talking points that you hear from CDC, and folks, you know, they'll get on Twitter and cute responses, but this is just basic stuff. I mean, washing your hands, using soap, and things like this. And, you know, we get busy and we hurry along through our daily routine, and we forget sometimes that you need to wash your hands. And that's probably just good practice anytime, but it's particularly good practice to be reminded of that. So I would encourage people to, you know, I know you're tired of hearing it, but we push this out repeatedly to make sure that folks do remember to sit in the back of their mind, take the extra 20 seconds, wash your hands, try not to. We tell our kids this all the time, keep your hands away from your face. And maybe it sounds remedial, and we're not trying to be, condescending at all, but this is important stuff that the CDC is pushing out to make sure that we're keeping this top of mind. And so, I understand we have, you know, intelligent people out there, but even the smartest among us sometimes need reminders, you know, in the course of their daily routine to don't forget to do this. It's not because you're stupid. It's because we forget. We're people. We're human beings. And sometimes we need a little reminder, particularly at a time like this.